Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's FM 103.2. Available on the web at fm1032.com.au.
Okay, for many people, becoming blind would be considered a setback. Well, not so for our next guest. Miles Hilton Barber doesn't let sight get in the way of reaching the South Pole, racing across the Sahara Desert, setting Grand Prix records, or flying a plane from London to Sydney. And he joins us now. Miles, welcome to Open House.
Hey, good evening to all of you great folk there.
Hey, it was quite something to see you splashed on the TV right across the nation, landing in Sydney just a few days ago after becoming the first blind man to fly from Sydney to London. I think you crossed, 21 countries in 55 days? What a remarkable thing to have done.
Yeah, it was actually a dream, Sheridan. Ever since I was a kid, I grew up in Rhodesia, now known as Zimbabwe, and my dad was a World War II pilot and later on head of civil aviation, and I just loved aeroplanes, and I decided when I was old enough I was going to be a pilot, so I joined the Rhodesian Air Force, but they kicked me out. I failed my medical, said my eyesight wasn't good enough, and here I am 37 years later, and I could see then, and I'm now blind as a bat, and I've just had this wonderful privilege of flying, as you say, from London to Sydney in some 55 days, and I'm actually still pinching myself, wondering whether it was actually me or not.
Well, it certainly was. How does a blind person manage to fly a plane?
About 4 years ago, I suddenly clicked to the fact that all commercial pilots actually have to fly blind or on instrument as part of their qualification. So I figured if I had access through speech output to the main flight instruments that pilots use, maybe I could fly then. I then started researching around the world, figuring out who was making flight instruments for blind pilots, and lo and behold, not a single one was. Any entrepreneurs listening can make a fortune.
It's a market.
But anyway, so I then got someone in Britain to start designing the software and hardware, and it took a few years, and I now then use a computer that links into all of my flight instruments, and from there into my headphones and into a series of spring-loaded switches, Velcroed onto my flying suit, and that gives me access to the information I need while I fly.
It's fascinating. How did you become blind, Miles?
It's a genetic hereditary eye disease that had jumped many generations in my family and hit me and my brother. I was 21 when I was told I was going to go blind, and my brother was a bit older. He's now 60, I'm 58, and really what changed my life was only 8 years ago when I was 50, when I started doing these things. My blind brother sailed solo from Africa to Australia in a yacht, totally blind, totally alone, from Durban to Fremantle, and is still the only blind person in world history to have crossed an ocean solo, and that's what got me thinking that my problem wasn't my blindness, it was my attitude to my blindness.
Well, that's quite something. So this kind of entrepreneurial sense of adventure seems to be running in your whole family then, if your brother's done this as well.
Yes, so after that, I did an ultramarathon across the Sahara Desert with Jeff, my brother, and then we climbed Kilimanjaro together, and I then went off and decided to head off to the South Pole, and I wanted to climb Everest and a few other things, but he was the one who got me going, and I still think he's by far the most amazing of us.
Tell me about setting these Grand Prix records. What's it all about?
Oh, that was just having some fun. I went around the world using 80 different forms of transport with two other people with disabilities, a blind Irish girl and the chap paralyzed from the chest down, no legs, in a wheelchair. So we all had to do these 80 forms of transport. You can imagine we were riding ostriches in South Africa, for example, and trying to stick a paralyzed man on the back of an ostrich. You need a lot of Velcro to...
I think you do.
...duck there. So in Malaysia, I just had an opportunity to take part in a race. I had a sighted guide sitting next to me, racing a little Lotus, and for my sins, I hold the lap record for a blind driver on the circuit. Absolutely great fun. I suppose we're driving at about 220 kilometers an hour. Spun off a couple of times, but very stable little motor cars, and we had a great fun doing that.
I think it was also a part of that World in 80 Ways project where you were pushing one of your team members as well, Mike, in the wheelchair along the bottom of the Red Sea.
I have that on my little business card. It's pictured me pushing him along the seabed 30 foot down, using my white stick to find the way, and apparently the only picture in the world of a blind man pushing a paralyzed man along the seabed using his white stick to find the way. We had a real laugh doing that. I say to some people, I thought I'd copy Moses and hold my rod out over the sea, nothing happens. So I'm a great believer. Look for alternatives if the first doesn't work, you know.
How did you start with your weighted down?
Yes, we had to weight it down, and he's an amazing guy. You know, I've realized that it's not our circumstances that determine our quality of life. It's how we respond to our circumstances. And this guy, despite being paralyzed from the chest down with a catheter and a colostomy bag, and takes him an hour and a half to get dressed, he drives a 4.8-liter V12 Ferrari with hand control. So the guy's got serious attitude.
Well, we're talking to Miles Hilton Barber. You might have seen him on the telly this week. He was the guy who flew from London to Sydney in a little aircraft there, and he's blind. Well, tell us about that personal faith of yours. You said in one news report that you, I quote, you serve a God and that without him you could have been in some dodgy situations. Tell me about your faith, and tell me about these dodgy situations you might have been in if you hadn't.
I think, you know, God is really good, and it's not that he stops us getting into dodgy situations, but he helps us get out the other side again. And good old Psalm 23, you know, he helps us to walk through the valley of the shadows of deep darkness. We don't die there. He takes us through. Mm-hmm. I've been a Christian for many years, but more and more, I'm now 58, realize that, you know, God doesn't want to sit back in a very passive way, waiting for bolts of lightning to tell us what to do, but like a ship with a rudder, we've got to be on the move so that he can direct us. I've been through some dodgy situations. On this flight, we in a cold situation, flying over Lebanon at 13,000 feet over the mountains, in this little ultralight, which is totally open. It's minus 25, ice building up on my flying suit, thick enough to feel through two layers of gloves, ice on all the flight instruments. Other times, flying over the Saudi desert, we were caught in some very bad thermals. It's a very hot desert with these swirling eddies of chimneys of air going thousands of feet up, and we were being thrown around the sky. And if you think about a jumbo jet that weighs 200 tons, if you've been in turbulence in a jet airliner, we only weigh a quarter of one ton. So you can imagine that with 800 times less weight, we get thrown around very violently. We were shooting up into the sky at 1,500 feet a minute, and then being thrown down again that same speed. It's about the speed of you getting into a lift and going down three stories a second. Wow. They're quite frightening, but a good time to remember that the aircraft is strong and the Lord God Almighty is even stronger. Hmm. And neither height nor depth nor anything else in the world can separate us from that love. Other times, flying from Penang to Kuala Lumpur, we got caught in a very bad tropical storm. The rain was so thick and heavy, it was like flying through a waterfall and hitting us like buckshot out of a shotgun. Or like hail. But it's a good time to pray. I think I probably prayed quite a lot over the last 55 days or so. But God is a good God, and he loves us not because of how good we are, but just because we're his children. He's our Father. So I know that many situations coming down mountains, climbing Mont Blanc in Europe, we got caught in a blizzard where 4.5 feet of snow fell in 5 hours, I've had very little sleep, so I'm sorry I'm a bit tired. But,
you're doing well.
And five people died on the mountain around us, and it was just God's grace that took us off in the middle of that blizzard. I walked across huge crevasses in Antarctica where my ski poles were punching through, and I could have fallen 100 feet down into that crevasse, but God has protected me. God is the God of the everyday, ordinary person, and we don't have to do a whole bunch of good works to earn his love. We just have to recognize it and do our best to respond to it in a very simple way by listening to him and trying to follow him.
Nicely put. What motivates you to keep on doing these adventurous things? Half of the things you're talking about here I couldn't even dream of doing. What motivates you to keep on doing them?
Sheridan, initially I was trying to help other blind people. I spent about 7 years working for the Royal National Institute for the Blind in Britain, and I noticed a trend that people in employment going blind lost their confidence, their dignity, their independence, and they didn't believe they could do anything. And I thought the best thing I could do was to follow my brother's example and just push the boundaries, push the limits a bit, and try and say to people, look, you can do more than you think you can. In fact, I've realized the only limits in our life are those we accept ourselves. And the biggest thing holding us back is just 5 inches, which is the distance between our ears.
Well, Miles, what goals do you have for yourself in the next decade? I wonder what you're going to get up to.
By far, the biggest goals in my life are to try and succeed as a father and as a husband. Whatever else I do in my life, if I fail in those areas, I think I failed in the important thing. My kids say, Dad, thanks for marrying Mum. She's the best mum we could have in the whole world. And then again, say to the Mum, why did you marry Dad? You know, did you have a bad hair day? What went wrong? You know, so I'm hoping when I go back to England, actually, to see if I can be the first blind pilot to fly through the sound barrier. I've got access to a jet aircraft, only actually a Hawker Hunter, which won't go through the sound barrier except in a bit of a dive. But I just enjoy flying. It's just one of the most wonderful things. Scuba diving is something else I love because you're weightless again underwater. But I just find life is so good. And I think one of the tricks in life, you know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, said that he's learned the secret of contentment, whether he's got a lot or a little. And I find that one of the big secrets I've learned in life is just to enjoy today. Today's a wonderful day. Tonight's a wonderful evening talking to you folk. And a lot of people I meet who do these amazing expeditions and mountaineering or whatever, they're driven people and they can never stop and rest. And for me, I just love to sit and reflect on God's goodness and kindness towards me.
Well, it's been wonderful talking to you, Miles. Thanks for your time and open house tonight.
Thank you very much for having me, Sean. God bless you all.
Yeah, you too. That's British adventurer Miles Hilton Barber. He's blind, and you might have seen him on the telly this week, flying in from a 55-day, 21-country stop, basically, from London to Sydney. It's an amazing trip. If you want to find out more about his adventures, mileshilton-barber.com. mileshilton-barber.com.
We hope you enjoyed this FM 103.2 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit fm1032.com.au.